Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today we're going to be exploring this question. Can faith and non-faith both exist in a person at the same time? We're going to take a look at a famous passage from the Gospel of Mark to answer that question. Let's go to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are discussing confusing comments on saving faith, or just confusing comments on faith. I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about faith, and what the commentators say about it is often confusing, and it often mixes faith and works together. For example, there's a very famous verse in the New Testament, Mark chapter 9, verse 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And the context is, it's the father and he's brought his son to be healed. The father thinks his son is demon-possessed. And in verse 18, he brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples were not able to cast out this demon. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So evidently he thought that they could, but then when they couldn't, that caused a problem for him, so he came to Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 19, O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So the son is foaming at the mouth, and he's convulsing in front of Jesus. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Okay, now let me state what our position is on this, and then we'll look at some of the commentary. Our position is that what this man is saying is, Lord, I believe you can heal my son. That's what the immediately preceding context was. He said to Jesus, if you can do anything. And then Jesus picks up on the if you can and says, if you can believe. He turns it on the man and says, all things are possible to him who believes. And he says, Lord, I believe. Well, he's believing what? I believe you can heal my son. And then he says, help my unbelief. Now, what a lot of commentators say, as we're going to see, is he's talking about, I believe something, and yet at the same time, I don't believe it. Some of them even see this as saving faith, as justifying faith.
Right.
What I would suggest is he's saying, I believe you can heal my son, but help the areas where I don't believe you, which may well refer to believing he's Messiah. In other words, he may be familiar with Jesus' claim that he's Messiah and that he guarantees eternal life to the believer. He may well be saying, Lord, I believe you can heal my son, but help me with the areas I don't yet believe, which, by the way, is a good point for all of us. The idea that a lot of people have that there's such a thing as faith and unbelief mixed together.
About the same thing.
About the same thing. So I could believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and I could not believe he was born in Bethlehem.
Right.
I could believe he rose from the dead, and I could not believe he rose from the dead. No. Faith and unbelief do not coexist. When a person says, well, I sometimes go through doubts, well, those doubts may well be simply some sort of thought implanted in our mind that quickly comes and goes, and we really don't stop believing. But if we entertain doubts and get to the point where we stop believing, then during that time, we're no longer believing.
Right.
But there's no such thing as believing and unbelieving coexisting. That's nonsense. What he's talking about here is, I believe you can heal my son. Help the areas I don't yet believe.
Is he believing but 1 second and then also doubting it the other second?
Well, that would be possible, and that would be another way of understanding this. But I think more likely what he's saying is, I believe you can heal my son and help my areas of doubt, the things I don't yet believe. Yes, a person can change their belief.
Well,
so they can go from belief to doubt, and that's a possible understanding.
Well, and what about this? If Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes, and the Father already believed, then why wasn't the demon cast out in verse 18?
Well, I think the reason is because Jesus is illustrating a point before he heals the son. He goes on at the very end of the story and says, this kind is only cast out by prayer and fasting.
Right.
Explaining why the disciples couldn't do it in verse 29.
It's weird because I would read that and I'd think, well, doesn't that contradict verse 23? It sounds like it wasn't possible unless simply believing wasn't possible. You also needed the prayer and fasting.
Well, in this case, Jesus wanted the man to confess his faith as part of a condition of the healing. And when he did, then Jesus follows through and does heal the son. But the real question is it possible to have faith and non-faith coexisting? Here's a quote from Vincent Taylor in his commentary on Mark, the second edition. He says, "Help my faith where it is ready to fail." Now, that would be taking the view you were suggesting that maybe my unbelief is it could fail. But then he goes on to say, "And as nearly equals my unbelief, moi to apisto, it is not the unbelief mentioned in chapter 6, verse 6, but a half-faith." So what Vincent calls this is a half-faith encompassed with doubts and fears which need power to bring it to life. No, this isn't a half-faith. He really believes that Jesus can heal his son. But he has doubts about something else. And even if you were to argue these doubts come later, the point is he does believe. It's not a half faith.
Do you think there's a difference between, like Jesus talked about faith the size of a mustard seed. So it sounds like faith can be different sizes.
Well, that's another question. That's a good question. And my answer there, and I have an article on that on our website at faithalone.org, is that great faith is believing something that's more difficult to believe. To believe that Jesus can heal by distance is harder and bigger than believing Jesus can heal if he's in the presence of someone.
Okay.
So when the centurion says, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed by distance," that's greater faith than the father standing in front of the son and say, "I believe you can heal my son." Mustard seed faith is believing something little, believing something small. Like God loves the world, doesn't take a huge amount of Bible knowledge to know that God loves the world. But believing that Jesus rose from the dead, well, that's a little more difficult. A person must know what God's word says.
Okay.
And believing in Jesus for everlasting life, which should be quite simple, proves to be quite difficult because so few people believe it because of all of the teaching of work salvation in our world today. I've got another quote. This is from R. Allen Cole. And when he's talking about this passage, he says that the man is honestly confessing the poverty of his faith. I don't think that's the point, but that's what Cole says. And then he says that justification is not by works, but by faith, which is a good point. And he says, instead, the father was asking Jesus for practical help to be demonstrated in the healing of his son, and confessing, deeply moved, that he had not enough faith to make him worthy of such help. Well, I don't think that's the point either. His very coming to Jesus showed faith, and that was enough. This is indeed justification by faith.
I wonder where he gets justification in this
There's
passage.
Nothing in the context about justification.
Yeah.
And my point would be, it's possible that the second half helped my unbelief could refer to believing in Jesus as Messiah, but that's not obvious. You know, it's not clear what his areas of unbelief are. But this quote by Cole is a bit confusing, although I appreciate him talking about justification by faith apart from works.
Right.
Did you have a quote from somebody?
Yeah, I have a quote from Wessel. He says, "I do believe," he exclaimed, "but he recognized that his faith was far from perfect. It was still mixed with unbelief." So that's a question. Is there such a thing as mature faith, perfect faith versus immature faith?
In my view, mature faith is faith that believes more of what God said, and immature faith is faith that believes less of what God says. Let's say there are a million propositions in the Bible, a million truths in the Bible. There probably are. If you believe 100 of those propositions in the Bible, you don't believe much of what God has said.
Right.
If you believe 1,000, you still don't believe much. But if you believe 500,000 of the million, well, now you're believing a lot of what God has said. And, of course, part of believing what God has said is understanding it, right? So, therefore, that's why we need to be in church and hear the Word of God taught, because then we're getting an understanding of what it says, and then we can come to believe it, and then we can come to apply it.
Right. Well, it's actually kind of interesting on that point, just a few verses later, 30 to 32,
there's an example of the apostles not understanding something that's very important in Jesus' ministry.
Yes.
It says, then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Very clear, right? Everyone's,
right.
You know, you should be able to believe what he said and understand what he said. But look at verse 32. But they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Well, if they didn't understand it and they're kind of afraid, then they definitely didn't believe him at that point.
They didn't believe this.
They didn't believe that truth.
Right.
They didn't believe that he would die and rise
again. Still believed he was Messiah, but they didn't believe he was going to die or that he was going to rise on the third day, because their view of Messiah is Messiah doesn't die.
Is that an example of a mixture of faith and unbelief? Faith for Jesus in some things, but an unbelief in, let's say, his future death and resurrection.
Exactly. That's a great point, Sean. And basically illustrates, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, is something we can all pray about. In other words, we believe many things God has said, but we want to believe more of his word.
Here is J.C. Ryle, who's a commentator I usually enjoy, contemporary of Spurgeon. Let us learn in the third place from these verses how faith and unbelief can be mixed together in the same heart. The words of the child's father set this truth before us in a touching way. Lord, he cried, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We see in those words a vivid picture of the heart of many a true Christian. Few indeed are to be found among believers in whom trust and doubt, hope and fear do not exist side by side. Here's the upshot. A lot of people will take a passage like this and they will teach that you can never be sure of anything. All faith is always a mixture of some doubt and some belief, and you can never have 100% certainty about anything. But that's not the point of this passage. The point of this passage is that we can believe some things are true and yet also doubt that other things are true about Jesus. We can believe some of his promises and also doubt other of his promises. We can believe some of his claims and also doubt other of his claims. And as Christians, we all need to grow to believe the whole counsel of God, and we all need to grow in our faith in that way. If you want to learn more about the nature of faith and saving faith and assurance and doubt, I want to recommend my book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation, available at our store, faithalone.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great clarifying discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to discover if there are multiple ways to believe. So you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.